Okay, we're starting here on the top of Mem Bet Amud Aleph, 10 lines down. The last word on the line, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Shtei shkitot shamati. I heard about two shkitot, the same type of genre of what we saw before. He said, I heard about two shkitot, and it's achat shel para, v'achat shel paro. One about the para, aduma, and what about the par, shel aron, on Yom HaKippurim. Achat ksheira bizar, v'achat psula bizar. One of them, it's permitted for a zar to do the shkita, and the other one it is not. V'lo yudana ha'minayu. And I don't know which one is which. So similar to the memorot that we had before, where he has pieces of information, he just doesn't know how to put it together to get the conclusion. So itmar. So on this topic, we have amachloket, which is shkitat para uparo. When it comes to the shkita of the para duma and the par shel aron, Rav Shmuel, we have amachloket between Rav and Shmuel. Chad amar para psula paro ksheira. One of them says that by the para duma, you need to not have a zar. You cannot have a zar shech the para duma. And parok shera. Whereas by the par of our own, you could have a zar do it. V'chad amar. And one of them says parok psula, that by the par of our own, it's problematic, the zar. Parak shera, and the para duma, it's shera. Now the Gemara says, tistayim de rav hu de amar. Let us conclude that it's rav who has this opinion, that para is psula. That the para duma is psula, based on a statement from Rav. Dama Rabbi Zeira, here the Gra has the girsa of Dama Rabbi Zeira Amarav. Shkitat para bizar psula. So if it has Amarav in there, then it's very straightforward that that's Rav's opinion, that the shkita by a para, by a zar is problematic. V'amarav ala. And on that, we have Rav make a statement, Elazar v'chuka shaninu ba. The reason is, because in the parsha para duma, it has both a mention of Elazar HaKohen, that Elazar HaKohen is the one who does the Shechita, as well as the fact that the word Chukah, Zot Chukat HaTorah, appears there. So Parshat Chukat, by the Parah Duma, begins Zot Chukat HaTorah. So the word Chok, we know, is something that causes it to be Ma'akev. That means that whatever is written in the Parsha must be done this way. And then, in describing the Parah Duma, the processing of the Parah Duma, mentions the need for Elazar HaKohen. It says, Unetatem ota el Elazar HaKohen, v'otzi ota mechutz machne, v'shachat ota lefanav. And then, v'lakach Elazar HaKohen midama betzbo, v'izal nochach pnei omoed midama sheva piyamim. So you have Elazar HaKohen mentioned, and you have the word chok. So Rav says that that's me'akev. Elazar HaKohen was the Skan HaKohen at that time. So therefore, it shows you that you can't have a Zar do the shechting of the Para Aduma. So now Gemara says, V'rav, Maishna Para Dechtiv Elazar V'chuka, Paro Nami Aktiv Aron V'chuka. Why is he fixated on the Para Aduma having Elazar, the Skan HaKohen mentioned, plus Chuka, which tells you it's Me'akev, by Par Shel Aron, on Yom HaKippurim, it says, Aron HaKohen has to do the Shkita, which says, V'hikriv Aron et Parchatat HaShelo, V'chiper Bado V'ad Beito. And it says, V'hikriv again, Aron et Parchatat HaShelo, V'chiper Bado V'ad Beito, V'shachat et Parchatat HaShelo. So Aron does the Avoda. And we know the word Chok is also used here in the Parsha of Yom HaKippurim, which is, V'hayta Lachem L'chukat Olam B'chodesh HaShvi. We have the word Chok, and we have Aron HaKohen mentioned there. So why is that different than Parah Aduma? Why by Parah Aduma does Rav say it's Me'akev? And by Parah Shel Aron, he doesn't say it's Me'akev. Shechita lav avodahi. Says that's not a problem because Shechita is not an avoda. Since Shechita is not an avoda, what we know by Yom HaKippurim is anything that's an avoda, the Kohen Gadol must do. But if it's not an avoda, then the Kohen Gadol is not required to do it. So obviously the next question will be, Ihochi Parah Nami. Okay, if that's the case, that it's not an avoda, and therefore Aron HaKohen is not demanded over there, well, why don't you say the same thing by the Para Aduma? So the Para Aduma is also, Shechita is not an avoda there. If it's not an avoda, then why are you saying that you have to have Elazar HaKohen? The answer is, Shani Para, the Kodshei Bedek Abayiti. Para is different because it's not Kodshei Mizbeach. Kodshei Mizbeach are animals that are going to go on to the Mizbeach. They have Kedushata Mizbeach. They were intended to get to the Mizbeach, like the Paro Shel Aron on Yom HaKippurim. Parah Aduma is shechted outside of the Mikdash, shechted on Har HaZeitim, and it has nothing to do with Kodshei Mizbeach. It's Kodshei Berek HaBayit. Within Kodshei Berek HaBayit, we're not interested in what's an Avoda and what's not an Avoda, because there is no Avoda here. The whole thing's not an Avoda. The whole thing is a totally different genre of processing, because it's outside of the Mikdash. And so therefore, when we have Elazar and Chukah, we're going to say that that's a demand, that you must have exactly what's in the Parsha, and not like what we say by the Paro Shel Aron that Avoda matters. What's not Avoda doesn't matter because that's Kodesh HaMizbeach. That's done inside the Mikdash. And so for that reason, Rav says that by the Para Aduma, a Zar is Psula. But by Paro Shel Aron, a Zar would be Shera to do the Shechita. Now, what's interesting here, Tosafot discusses something that he really does in more detail in Zvachim, which is, what does it mean that Shechita is Lav Avodahi? How do you know that Shechita is not an Avodah? So Rashi says, I'll tell you how I know Shechita is not an Avodah, because it's Kshirab Zar. So Tosafot says, wait a minute, that's a little bit circular in logic, because you're saying it's not an Avodah, therefore a Zar can do it. But you're telling me the reason it's not an Avodah is because a Zar can't do it. So Tosafot has a question, Rashi. He brings two other possibilities as to why Shechita is Lav Avodahi. He brings from the Rabbeinu Yaakov Meorleans. Rabbeinu Yaakov Meorleans says the reason that it's not an Avodah is because Shechita manifests itself outside of the Mikdash as well. You do Shechita for Behemoth Chulin. You do Shechita for any kosher meat, you have to do Shechita. So the fact that it's Kshera Bazar is because it's not something that just happens in the Mikdash, it's something that also has manifestation outside of the Mikdash. It brings a third interpretation from Rabbi Shimshon Mikutsi. It says that the reason that Shechita is Lav Avodah is because of where you have to stand to do it. By Kabbalah, when you do Kabbalat Adam, you have to be standing inside the Azarah to do Kabbalat Adam. By Shechita, you do not have to be standing inside the Azarah to do Shechita. The animal must be in the Azarah, and the Shechita must be in the Azarah. But the person doing the Shechita does not have to be inside the Azara. He can be outside. He can do it with a long knife outside the Azara. And even according to the one who says that you have to be in the Azara, by a case of Kodshei Kodashim, we have to do it in the Tzafon, you could be standing in the south and do the Shechita in the north, as long as the animal's in the north and Shechita is in the north. So the Shimshon Mikutsi claims that that's the reason that Shechita is not considered an Avodah, because it doesn't demand the Azara. It doesn't demand that you, the person executing on the Shechita, be in the location where the Shechita is done. The only thing that it cares about is the Shechita, not the Shochet. The fact that it only cares about the Shechita, not the Shochet, tells you that it's not an Avodah, and also that's why a Zar will be Kshera. So you have those three different reasons. In the end, Tosfot rolls back to Rashi's reason as probably being the better of them, because each of the other reasons runs into a problem somewhere else, and maybe he can defend the position of Rashi. These are different reasons why Shechita might not be considered an Avodah, because of these nuances that are different in Shechita than other avodot, whether it's that a zar can't do it, whether it's the fact that you don't have to be in the azara to do it, or whether it's something that manifests itself in chulin, not just in kodashim. Right now, the Gemara says, "V'lav kol dechenu, isn't it a kal v'chomer?" Wouldn't you say that if by avodat mizbeach, which is a higher level of kedusha, we say that we don't demand a kohen to do shechita, a zar can do shechita, then kal v'chomer by para aduma, which is not kodesh mizbeach, it's kodesh berek habayit. Over there, certainly we should allow a zar to execute the shechita. Am Rav Shisha braid the Rav Idi, mide dehava amarot negaim. Wait a minute, we have other examples of things that are not kodesh mizbeach, things that are done outside of the mikdash, but demand a kohen. The demand for a kohen is not necessarily related to mikdash. It's a gzeirat ha-katuv by certain items. For instance, marot negayim, the lav avodahi. The fact that the kohen goes to see the negayim, whether it's your nigay adam or nigay bayit, this is where they're focused on, a nigay bayit, ubayi kihuna. And over there, the Torah requires that a person have a kohen looking at it. You go to the kohen, and you say, kenega neira li bayit, I have something that looks like a nega in my house, and then the kohen comes to the house to look at the nega. Over there, there's a requirement that a Kohen see the Nega and declare the Nega to be Tamei, Tahor, or needs to go into Skira. Whatever happens to the Nega has to be said by a Kohen. Even if you know what the answer is, you can't do anything. You need a Kohen to say it. There's a demand for Kohen by Negaim. Now, over there, we're talking about something that's outside of the Mikdash. We're not talking about something that's Avodah. And yet, there's still a demand for Kohen. So here you have an example of an item that is outside the realm of Kodesh HaMizbeach, and yet it still requires a Kohen. So why are you surprised by Para Aduma that we still require a Kohen, despite the fact by Kodesh HaMizbeach we don't? So it's the Gzeirat HaKatuv. We have examples of it. So the Kal V'chomer falls apart because there really isn't a Kal V'chomer. We have other instances where there is demand for a Kohen, despite the fact that it's not Kodesh HaMizbeach. Right, and so too by Para Aduma, you could say that it's a Gzeirat HaKatuv. Because even though it's a kal v'chomer, you would say, by kodesh mizbeach, I don't require a kohen. Why would I require it by para aduma? No, the Torah says, you require it. That's it. And we have other paradigms like that. So we're okay with saying that. Shmuel Damar. Now going to Shmuel, who now is the other party here, he's the one who says that by Paro shel Aaron, you can't have a Zar do it. By Paro Duma, you can do it. So then, Paro Psula, Maishna Paro, Dichtiv Aaron Chuka. What's the difference by Par of Aaron? Which the reason he says it's Ma'akev is because it says Aaron in the Parsha. And it says Chuka, which means that we demand that it be a Kohen Gadol. Paranami, Aktiv Elazar Bechuka. Why don't we say the same thing by Par Aduma? I mean, Rav's Limud, that you have Elazar and Chuka written there, so that should demand at least Iskan Kohen does it. Marseh Shani Hotam. If they be very careful over here, if you listen carefully to the language, it does not exactly say that Elazar Kohen did it. It says, Unetatem Ota Elazar Kohen, Votzi Ota Michutz L'Machaneh, V'Shechat Ota Lifanav. So all it says in the Parsha is that you will shecht it in front of him. It doesn't say Elazar is the one who executes on the Shechita. It says that Elazar is present when the Shechita is done. And that's Shmuel's answer. He says that it doesn't demand that Elazar do it. It says, Shaini Hotam Dichti V'Shechat Ota Lifanav. Shezar shochet velazar roeh, that you can have a zar do the shvita, elazar just has to be present. The skan kohen has to be present. Rav, what does Rav do with that? It's a good claim by Shmuel. How does Rav? Rav says that it is ma'akev by the paraduma. He says shlo yasiach datao mimenu, that he won't take his mind off of it. It's a demand for elazar not only to be present physically, but to have his mind to be engaged in the process of the paraduma from beginning to end, without having any hesach adat, without having his mind wander away from it. Ushmuel shlo yasiach dato minole. Where does Shmuel learn out this restriction or this need that there be no hesach adat? Nafgale, he learns it out from later on, v'saraf et apara le'enaf. So not only is the requirement by shkita this way, but later on in the parsha, after he does the kabbalat adam and the zrikat adam, it says, v'saraf et apara le'enaf. You burn the para in front of the eyes of Elazar HaKohen. So here you have another time that it's in front of him. So over here, Shmuel will say, Leinav tells you no Hesech Adat, and Shechat Ota Lefanav teaches you that he doesn't have to do the Shechita. So it's truly Limudim. Now you have to ask about Rav. What's Rav going to do that? Why does Rav now have two Limudim in the Pasuk? One which says Shechat Ota Lefanav, and one says V'Saraf Ota Leinav. Why do I need both of them? So he says, Chad B'Shechita, V'Chad B'Sreifa. One of them is written by Shkita, and one is written by Sreifa. B'tzricha, and I need both of them to teach me that there can't be Hesach Adat. Dikot of Rachmana b'Shkita, if it just wrote it by Shkita, Mishom Dechilat Avodahi. Maybe the demand by Shkita that there's no Hesach Adat is because that's the beginning. That's the beginning of the process. So in the beginning of the process, you gotta do it right. Later on into the process, you're in middle of the process, we don't worry about Hesach Adat. But to start, you can't have Hesach Adat. So therefore, if I just had it by Shkita, I wouldn't necessarily extrapolate that to Sreifa. Aval Sreifa, I'm alone. By Sreifa, I would say no. So Tzricha, therefore I need it written by Sreifa as well. Bika Tav Rachmana B'Sreifa, had the Torah just written it by Sreifa, that you can't have Hesach Adat, Mishum Dahashtahu Dimitkashra Para. This is the Iker Avoda of the Para, is to make it into ashes. That's what you need. You need the ashes from the Para Duma. Aval Shkita, Shkita, which is just the facilitator prerequisite for getting to the burning of the ashes, Eimalo, maybe there I would not require that there be no Hesach Adat, Tzricha. Therefore I need both of them. So I need you to mention no Hesach Adat by Shkita and no Hesach Adat by Sreifa, because each one of them has a Tzad Chumrah to it. Since each one has a Tzad Chumrah to it, I wouldn't learn one from the other. I cannot extrapolate from one to the other. Therefore I have to have it written by both, according to Rav. Now the Gemara says, Limutei Mai. What does that come to exclude? Meaning the fact that I require no Hesach Adat by Shkita and no Hesach Adat by Sreifa, does that mean somewhere else I don't demand it? The Tosafot says it's a very strange question of the Gemara. I mean, why does the Gemara say it has to exclude something? All the Gemara said, all the Torah did so far was tell you need not to have Hesach Adat here and no Hesach Adat here. Didn't tell you that we left anything out. So Tosafot says that because the Torah could have written the demand for Hesach Adat by another Avoda, not by Shkita, not by Sreifa, something that doesn't have a Chumrah. If it wrote it there, then you would extrapolate it to all the other items. The fact that it didn't write it there and wrote in these two areas where you cannot extrapolate from them, that teaches you that it must not want you to take the limud to something else. So that's what the Gemara asks now. Why did the Torah put it in Shkita and Sreifa where you can't learn from them? It must be it's telling you don't extrapolate from them, but where are they telling you not to extrapolate it to? And that's what the Gemara asks. Ilim, if you want to say lim ute. So over here, there's girsa issue. The Gra takes out the word Ephra from here. Rashi leaves it in, but the Gra takes it out. So if you say lim ute asifat Ephra imuli umilu imaim lekidush, if you say that, what am I excluding? That you're allowed to have hesach adat by the collection of the ashes and the filling of the water, the kiddush, the miloy amayim, which is bringing the mayim chayim el keli to put the ashes into. If you say over there that you do not require to have focus, you know, you can have hesach adat, that's not true because the pasuk says about the collection that lemishmeret lemei nida aktiv. Pasuk says that when you do this, vasaf ish tohor et efer hapara, v'niach michutz l'machaneh b'makom tohor, so the mishmeret made nida. That mishmeret teaches you do need a focus. You cannot have hesach adat by this. The question of what that refers to is, according to Rashi, the other people have the gears of Ephra there. Well, the pasuk talks about vasaf ish tohor et efer hapara, and also it talks about the mayim made nida. So those together require a mishmeret. So those do require that there be no hesach adat. That's the way that those that have the gears in are learning. The way that the Gra is learning is that Ephra is not included. It says the Mishmeret Lemei Nida. It's the Mayim that requires the Mishmeret. Ephra Parat does not. And therefore the Girsa of the Gra reads like this, which is, Mute Milu Mayim Bikidush. Is that what it comes to exclude? You can't say that because it says the Mishmeret Lemei Nida. Ela, the Mute. And now, according to the Gra, you would add in the word Ephra. And Ashlachat Eitz Erez Ve'ezob Ushnitolat, the Lav Gufa Deparaninu. What comes to exclude is the process that by which you burn these other items along with the para duma, because it says there, v'lakach ha-kohen eitz erez ve'zov u'shnito lat v'shlich el toch srifat ha-para. So over there, there is no demand for you to have focus on what you're doing. There's no psul of hesach adat by these items. So whether it includes Eifer or not, that's subject to the machloket about the girsa over here. But at least the Shlachat Eitz Erez and the Ezov and the Shnitolat, they are not under this requirement of no hesach adat. And the Gemara gives you the reason. Delav gufa de para, you know, because they're not the gufa para. Which again is interesting, because why does it have to give you a reason? The reason is because the Torah doesn't tell you. Everywhere else it tells you you need to have focus on here. You can't have hesach adat, you have to have kavanah. So, if it doesn't write it by these items, then they're excluded. Why do you have to tell me the reason why they're excluded? Tosfot again discusses why to give a reason over here, because the upcoming Gemara, where we're going to see that there are differences with regards to certain dinim when it comes to these items. So, Itmar, Shchitat Para Bizar, the Shchitat of the Paruduma by Bizar, Rabbi Ami Amar Ksheira, like Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak Nachman Amar Psula, like Rav, Ula Amar Ksheira, Ula says Ksheira like Shmuel, Amri Lo Psula, and some say that he said Psula like Rav. So you have other Amoraim who also have these positions with regards to the Parah Duma. The Meitiv, Rabbi Shua Baraba, the Suyei the Rav. Shua Baraba brings a question which supports the position of Rav. Ainli Ela Hazat Memea She'en Ksherim B'Isha. I only know that when it comes to the sprinkling of its Mayim, that the Isha cannot do it Ki'ish. And they're not kosher except for during the day. So that is, when it comes to the sprinkling of the waters of the Parah Duma for someone who wants to become Tahor, it says over there, Hu yitchata bo, bayom hashilishi, ubayom hashivii yitar, lo yitchata bayom hashilishi, bayom hashivii lo yitar. So that's first of all, it says bayom. Bayom means during the day. First of all, you have a requirement. The person wants to come to Hor and get the waters of the Parah Duma sprinkled on them. That must be done during the daytime. So that's one requirement we have by the Hazat Mayim. The other requirement we have is, it says, V'lachul etameh me'afar srifat ha-chatat, v'natan ala mayim chayim el-kelei, v'lakach ezov, v'taval b'mayim ish tahor. So over there, there's a requirement of ish. So the fact is that there you have a requirement, first of all, a ish, not an isha, so that's number one. And then, number two is, you have a requirement that it be done during the day. Now the Gemara says, B'nai l'rabot shchitata, v'kabalat dama, v'azat dama, v'sreifata, v'shlacha deitz erez, v'ezov, v'shnitolat. How do I know that all these other items have that same requirement? The question is, what is that same requirement? All of them have either the word Kohen or Elazar mentioned by them. So in terms of Isha, we already know that they're excluded. So Umar is looking to see, how do I know that Yom applies to these items, that they only may be done during the day? That the whole processing of the Parah Duma must be done during the day. How can I extrapolate from the Hazat Meimeha, where it says Yom, to these other pieces of Avodah? So the Gemara says, because Talmud Omar Torah. The Pasuk says Torah. Torah means that everything is included under the same rubric, which is Zot Chukata Torah. Torah says that this is all one process. Since it's all one process and there's a demand for daytime during one of them, then all of them have that demand for daytime. The Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, then Yochol Shanim Rabeh Af Asifat Efra Umili Mayim Likidush. So you would think that not only is it by Hazat Meimeha, the sprinkling of the waters of the Parama Duma, but even the gathering of the ashes and the filling of the water, that also would demand filling of the water and putting the ashes into the water. That also demand that it be done during the day. Talmud Omar Zot. Zot is a miut. Zot Chukat HaTorah. So you have a ribui and you have a miut. So I'm applying the ribui to parts of the process and I'm applying the miut to parts of the process. And the Gemara says, Maraita, the Rabot Teilu Otsiyatelu. How do you know which ones to include and which ones to exclude? It says, Achar Shariba Katuva Miyat. The Pasuk has a ribui, and the Pasuk has a miyut. Amart, Hare Anu L'meidim Kulan Ma'azat Meimeha. We're learning all of this out from Hazat Meimeha, where it says Bayom. So since it says Bayom by Hazat Meimeha, now I want to extrapolate that to other things. So what do I know about Hazat Meimeha? By Hazat Meimeha, I know, number one, that it has to be done during the day, because it says Bayom HaShlishi B'Yom HaShvi'i. And number two is, I know that enam kshira be'isha can be ish. I also know that a woman cannot do that because when it comes to the sprinkling of the water, it says, v'lachula tamem me'afar srifat ha'chatat, v'natan ala ma'im chayim el-keli, v'lakach ezov, v'tabal ba'ma'im ish tahor. V'iza ala oil, v'akol ha'gelim ha'kon nefashot asher yusha, ma'kon nage be'etzem, o b'kalal, o b'meit, o b'kover. So it says, de'ezov and tabal ba'ma'im. You take the hyssop and you dip it in the water and you sprinkle it, it has to be done by an ish tahor. So it can only be done by a man. So Zad Meimeha has two requirements. One is Ish, and the other requirement is Bayom. So, well, I have to extrapolate the din of Yom to other parts of the process of Parah Adumah. But I also have a miut. So I extrapolate it to some of Avodot, and I exclude some of Avodot. Some will have to be done during the day, some not. So he says, how do I know which they're which? He says, let's look at those that are patterned similar to the sprinkling of the water. All those that are patterned similar to the water, which means that a Isha cannot do them, a woman cannot do them, all of those will be demanded to have also Yom, to be done during the day. Any item that a woman can also do shows you that it's not similar in pattern to Hazat Meimeha. Since it's not similar in pattern, we also say it doesn't have the demand for Yom, that it be done during the day. That's what the Gemara explains over here. Ma Hazat Meimeha inam kshirim b'isha, ki b'ish, that a woman cannot do it. Vein kshirim b'aliyom, and it's only allowed to be done during the day. Afani avish kitata v'kabalat dama v'zat dama utzreifata v'ashlachat eitz erez v'ezov u'shnit olat ho vein kshirim b'isha. All those items are not kshirim b'isha k'b'ish. Ein kshirim ela b'yom, and therefore they're also only allowed to be done during the day. Because by each one of those, it either says kohen, ish, or elazar. U'motziani, but the asifat efra u'milu imayim v'kiddush, the gathering of the ashes, the filling of the water, and putting the ashes into the water. Ho v'ksherim b'isha k'b'ish, k'sherim nami b'yom v'b'layla. Since they are kasher by both a woman and a man, so too they're kasher to do not only during the day, but also during the night. So from here, you see that when it comes to shchita, that a woman can't do the shchita. Because that's the way that he learns out that the din of yom applies to shchita, is because a woman cannot do the shchita. So based on that, he says, look, you can see from here that it's not kshira, bizarre. So Gemara says, v'hai mai tiyufto. What type of question is that? Ilem amid psulim b'isha, psulim nami bizarre. He says, wait a minute, you think that because a woman can't perform the shkita, that also means that a zar can't perform the shkita? Hazad meimeha tochiach. The two are not correlated. Hazad meimeha will prove that. By Zad meimeha, the sprinkling of the waters of the Parah Adumah to someone who's tamei, over there we have a demand for ish tahor. We have a demand for a man to do it, but we don't have a demand that a kohen do it. So you have a case where the woman is psula, she cannot do it, yet it does not demand kohen. That doesn't mean that automatically a zar is precluded from doing it. Psulim b'isha, k'sherim b'zar, because they are psul b'isha, k'sherim b'zar, and therefore it's not a strong question. No, Amar Abaye, I need to yufte. This is the question. Isha mai taima. Why is it that an isha may not perform the shchita? Because by the Shkita it says, Elazar, below Isha. So the exclusion comes from the fact that we read before When it comes to the processing of the para aduma, it says that he will v'natatam ota elazar kohen v'tzi ota mechutz ha'machaneh v'shachat ota lefanav. So why is a woman excluded from doing shkita? Because it says elazar kohen is the one that does it. So if the reason the isha is out is because elazar kohen is the one doing it, then for the same reason you'd say that a zar is out because elazar kohen does it and not a zar. By Hazak Meimah, the reason the woman is excluded is because it says ish and not isha. So over there, you could say ish, yes, isha, no, zar, yes, isha, no. Over here, the reason the isha is excluded is because it says elazar. Elazar, not isha. Well, you'd say the same thing by azar. Elazar and not azar. There's a difference in the way that it's structured, the miut. And therefore, the isha, maitama elazar, velo isha, zar nami elazar, velo zar. So you could say the same thing. That's how we leave it, that this is a proof to Rav. This braita is somewhat of a proof to Rav because of the fact that a woman is precluded because of the word elazar, which seemed to indicate that elazar also excludes a zar. And that would support Rav's position that a zar is not kshera for shchitat, para aduma. Now we have a statement by Ula, which gives you basically a summary of what we're about to do and what we've done so far. And then we're going to go through it piece by piece, which is Amar Ula, kol parsha kula mashma motzi miyad mashma umashma memela. Says the whole parsha here is a big mishmash, which is sometimes I have a pasuk that seems to have a certain meaning, but the next pasuk changes the meaning of the previous pasuk. So after I read the next pasuk, I say, wait, maybe I have to think about the previous pasuk differently. And then I also have sukim that when I read them, I can just read them for what they are, and I get an exclusion. And we'll explain that now, which is, v'natatem ota el elazar ha-kohen. So now we're going back to the original pasuk that we dealt with shechita. I'll read the whole pasuk to you because you can see what's happening here. It says, v'natatem ota elazar ha-kohen, v'otzi ota el michutz l'machaneh, v'shechat ota lifanav. The word ota appears three times in the pasuk. So ota is a miut. So now, you're going to go through, what are each of these miutim? What are they there for? So it says, v'natatem ota elazar ha-kohen. Ota le'elazar v'lo ledorot elazar. That ota teaches me that only the one in the midbar, the one that is done by Elazar, has to be done by Elazar. But after that, there's no requirement of Elazar. If that's the case, the simple interpretation of the pasuk is that Elazar must do it, or the Skan Kohen must do it. Now the ota comes and tells you no. What you would have thought the pasuk means, don't say that, because the ota tells you no. It says only that one requires Elazar, others do not require Elazar. Because we know the reference to the paraduma is the subject of this pasuk without you saying ota. Ike de amre, some others phrase it this way. Lidorot b'kohen gadol. In the dorot, you have to use a kohen gadol. What does it mean ota? Elazar is the skan kohen. Aron is still alive, Aron's the kohen gadol. Elazar is the skan kohen gadol. So if that's the case, when it says you do not have to use Elazar for the remainder of history, that means Skan Kohen does it that first time. After that, who does it? So one man, Damar says, after that, the Kohen Gadol must do it. The first time, the Skan can do it. After that, only the Kohen Gadol could do it. Or, Ike Damre, that the Dorot, the Kohen Hejot, that the first time the Skan Kohen has to do it, we ask someone of a higher stature to do it. After that, any Kohen can do it. Any plain Kohen can do it. So that Ota comes to take away from the pshat of pasuk, which means that Elazar, the skan kohen, has to do it. And it either, one of two deyot here, either places you towards the kohen gadol or places you towards the kohen hedyot. Now the Gemara says, Bishlam alamanda amar ledorot b'kohen hedyot shapir. That works well according to the one who says, kohen hedyot can be used after this time. Alamanda amar ledorot b'kohen gadol. Minole. How do you know that you need a kohen gadol for the remainder of time? I don't understand. Once you exclude Elazar, you say, look, the first one has to be done by Elazar. After that, you don't require Elazar. So, what do you mean you don't require? Elazar is a Skan Kohen. So if you tell me after that I don't need him, you would say I drop down. Right, you'd say I drop down to a lower level of requirement, which would be the plain Kohen. You wouldn't say, okay, then I have to upgrade and only do a Kohen Gadol after that. Where do you get such an upgrade from? So he says, Menale gamar chuka chuka mi yom ha-kippurim. It's gzeir shavah from Yom Kippur. It says, zot chukata Torah over here. Va yom ha-kippurim. It says, vayita lechem chukat olam. So gzeir shavah chuka chuka. Just like by yom ha-kippurim, there's a requirement for Kohen Gadol. So to over here, by Parah Adumah, there'll be a requirement for Kohen Gadol, except for that first time, where you only require a Skan Kohen. So that's the first limud. Second one is, V'hotzi Ota. Hotzi Ota, Shelo Yotzi Acheret Ima. Now that I take out somebody else with the Parah Adumah, Kedetznan. We have a Mishnah in Parah that says, Lo Aita Parah Rotza Latzeit. What happens if the Parah is a little stubborn, and it doesn't want to go out to Har HaZeitim? Ein Motzi Mima Shchora. We don't take out another one with it, a black one, meaning not a parah aduma, but a parah shkora. Shelo yamru shkora shachato. So they won't say that they went and shechted a parah shkora and not a parah aduma. And we don't take out another parah aduma with it. Shelo yamru shtaim shachatu. So they won't say that they need require two parot adumot in order to do the avodah. So we're worried about what, how it looks. So we don't bring in another animal to draw the parah aduma with it. Rabbi Omer, I don't know what you're talking about. Lo min hashem huzeh. That's not the reason here. Ela mishum shenemar ota levada. The pasuk says ota. Ota means alone. So what do you need to tell me the reasons? You're giving me all these reasons. I don't look like they're also taking a shkora, or it looks like they're also taking another parah aduma. Why does that matter? The pasuk says ota. Ota means levada. So Omer says utana kama aktiv ota. Doesn't the Tanakama have the word Ota? That's where he's learning it from. Why is he giving all these reasons? So, man Tanakama. Who's the Tanakama over here? Rabbi Shimon, the Darish Tamei Dekra. Shimon has a general principle, we see it throughout Shas, that he looks at the reason behind the Pesukim. Even though the Pesuk gives us a din, we don't just look at the din in abstract. We say, what would be the reason that the Torah gives such a din? And so we try to explain it. We don't leave it as simply a chok. We say, all right, it's not necessarily Gzeir Takatuv. I have reasons why the Torah might say this. Now that has an apkamina in these cases, because if you give a reason for why the Torah does this, there might be cases where it doesn't matter. So for instance, the case, or the classic case, where Rabbi Shimon talks about it, is the case where you have money that you've lent to an almanah, and over there by the almanah, who is an aniyah, it says that you shouldn't take her items each day, because then you're going to have to enter into her house, bring her clothes back. You have to take collateral and you go back and forth to her house each day. It's not going to look good. It's going to cast aspersions on this almana. So therefore, what Rabbi Shimon says is, you're only now allowed to take collateral from an almana aniya, a poor almana. You can't take collateral. But if it's a wealthy almana, then you can take collateral because you don't have to return it each day. Since you don't have to return it each day, that problem doesn't arise. Now the Chachamim say, no, you're not allowed to take collateral from an almana whatsoever. That's what the pasuk says. No collateral from an almana. Rabbi Shimon says, let's look at the reason behind that. The reason behind that is because if you take it from an aniyah, you have to return it each day, you'll cast dispersions. That won't happen by Nashirah, therefore by Nashirah it's muteret. That's a classic case where Rabbi Shimon says it. Rabbi Shimon's doing the same thing over here. You're right. The pasuk says, ota levada. Let's try to give a reason why that's the case. So he gives a reason why. People are going to see this and they're going to get confused. So we don't want that to happen. My benayu. What's the nafkamina between them? Ike benayu, da'afik chamor bada. If you use a donkey to help it get out or to encourage it to move. So for Rabbi Shimon, that will be fine. Because you don't have the problem. People aren't going to think you shechted a donkey along with the parah aduma. People aren't going to think you shechted a donkey and not the parah aduma. That's not something that people would even think. Whereas for Rabbi, it says, ota levada, that's gzeirat hakatuv. It's alone, nothing else with it. Doesn't matter if it's a donkey or another parah aduma. You can't take anything out. So that's nafka mina between those two reasons. Now the Gemara continues in that pasuk and says, v'shachat ota. So ota, again, is a mute. So lo yishchot acheret ima, that you're not allowed to shecht another one with it. Then we move on to the remainder of the pasuk. It says v'shachat ota lifanav. What's the meaning of lifanav? That's the machlok we had between Rav and Shmuel before. Rav amar shelo yasiach dato mimena, that he can't take his mind off of it. Yasev kavana no hesachadat. V'shmuel sheizar shochet. Shmuel is to teach you that Ezar can do the shechita. Ve'elazar ro'eh, and Elazar supervises or watches it. Then, the next pasuk begins, Ve'lakach Elazar ha-Kohen mi'dama be'etzba'o. So now, why do you need Elazar ha-Kohen mentioned in the next pasuk? We already mentioned that Elazar is there. So why do you need Elazar ha-Kohen in the next pasuk? Now, l'shmuel adurei l'Elazar. For Shmuel, that is to tell you that we return it to Elazar, because he said, the shechita can be done by Elazar. So how do I know that the kavalat adam and the sprinkling of the dam of the parah aduma can only be done by a Kohen? That's why the pasuk mentions Elazar HaKohen again. The Rav. Rav, already, the Zar can't do Shechita. A Kohen is the only one who can do the Shechita. So why do I need Elazar HaKohen mentioned in the next pasuk? It's obvious if the Shechita requires a Kohen that the Kabbalah Dam and the sprinkling of Dam requires a Kohen. Havi miut achar miut. It's an exclusion after an exclusion. This is one of the methodologies for being Doresh the Torah. If I have a pasuk that gives you an exclusion. And then another exclusion. Ein miut achar miut elo l'rabot. We have two exclusions in a row that comes to include something. Tafilu Kohen Hejot. That comes to teach you that by Shechita demands Elazar HaKohen, who's the Skan Kohen. I have the next pasuk of Kabbalat Adam and sprinkling of the Dam require Elazar HaKohen. That's a miut. So Ein miut achar miut comes to say to you, it doesn't have to exclusively be done by Elazar. It can be done by any Kohen. It doesn't allow a Zar, but It does allow any kohen, and that's what miut achar miut is the rabot. And this is also what Ula said before, that sometimes you have a pasuk. The pasuk shad the pasuk is that Elazar has to do it. Yet, because the next pasuk mentions Elazar, it changes it from being Elazar to any kohen. So you have a next pasuk that takes away from the meaning of the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk alone would have meant that only Elazar can do it, only a Iskan kohen can do it. All of a sudden I bring another pasuk that says Elazar in it. All of a sudden the first pasuk doesn't mean Elazar anymore. It means any kohen. So any kohen could do the processing of the para aduma. Therefore, then the next pasuk begins and it says, "Velakach hakohen eitz erez veizov ushnitulat vishlich otoch sreifat hapara." So again, over here you have the word kohen. Why do I need the word kohen? The Shmuel dafilu bekohen ejot. For Shmuel, he needs it because now it can be done by a kohen ejot. Shmuel has it this way: shchita is done by a zar, kabbalat dama, and the zrikat adam has to be done by a lazar, by the skan on kohen. Then I come back to putting these extra items into the fire. There it says kohen to downgrade it again to say not skan kohen but a kohen ejot. Rabbi, it's strict. For Rabbi, you need it because sagadat kamina came into lab gufa de paraninu. So again, that was what we said before. The reason behind that these items are more makil, or we're more makil by these items, and we exclude them from the need for kavanah, is because they're not gufa de para, lowly by a kohen. I would think they don't need a kohen at all. Kamashmalan, you do need a kohen. So for Rav, shchita is done by a kohen, hejot. Kabbalat dam and zrikat dam is done by a kohen, hejot. And so too, the eitz erez and ezov shtitulat is done by a kohen, hejot. The first two are learned from the fact that Elazar kohen is mentioned both times over there, which is ein miyot achar miyot ele rabot. The third one is there to tell you that don't think, because these are a lighter form of avoda, that you don't need a kohen, hejot. You can even have a zar do it. The answer is no, you still need a kohen, hejot for these items. And then, again, the word kohen. Why do I need kohen again? We know it's all being done by a kohen. Both for Rav and Shmuel now, we're doing it with a kohen. Why do you have to teach me that the person who does it has to wash his clothing with a kohen? Biki hu no. That comes to teach you that it has to be a kohen when he's a kohen. What does it mean, a kohen, then when he's a kohen? He has to be wearing his bigdei kihuna. It's not simply a kohen to do the avoda. It has to be a kohen dressed the part of a kohen. He has to wear his big day kohuna so that he is a kohen. Obviously, the word is unnecessary otherwise, because I have it already mentioned in the previous pasuk kohen. I would have known that that was the case. So the answer is that this extra kohen tells me not only do I need the presence of the kohen, I need the kohen functioning as a kohen, which means that he's in his big day kohuna. Then, vitamea kohen ad erev. So what does that mean, vitamea kohen again ad erev? That comes to teach you kohen b'kihuno the dorot. Teach you that not only the first time they did the para adumah, but every time they do the para, and that the kohen hejot that's working here needs to have big day kohuna on in order to be classified as a kohen. Where it says anicha the manda amar the dorot b'kohen hejot shapir. That works well according to one who says that you need a kohen hejot the dorot. The manda amar the dorot b'kohen gadol. That was the manda amar we saw before, who says Elazar is a miut, and says not Elazar, but something else. So one mandamar said Elazar and not Elazar, but a kohen hejot. The other mandamar said not Elazar, but a kohen gadol has to do it. So in that case, if the kohen gadol has to do it, then why would you need an extra word kohen to teach you he has to wear the bigadim? Hashta kohen gadol b'inan b'kinu mibayi. If you have to have the kohen gadol do it, certainly he has to be in his vestments, because there's no way that he's called a kohen gadol otherwise. I mean, what makes him unique? What makes him unique is that he's wearing his big day kahuna. If I require kohen gadol, certainly I require the person to be wearing the big adim. Mara says in, milta da'achi b'kav v'chomer, tarach v'katav la'akra. You're right. You could have learned it from a kav v'chomer, but nevertheless, the Torah wrote it. Sometimes we have this. Something that could have been learned logically from a kav v'chomer. The Torah went out of its way and still wrote it, despite the fact that it was a kal v'chomer. Masaf ish tohar et efer hapara v'niach. Says that an ish tohar will gather together the ashes and place them down. Ish lakshir et azar. Ish comes to teach you that it doesn't have to be done by a kohen anymore, but can be done by a zar. Tohor lakshir et isha. Tell you that a woman can do it. V'niach mishyesh bov dat aniach. Aniach is to teach you that only someone who has the ability to put something down in an intentional manner can do this, which is yatsu, erish, shote, v'katan, shem b'en hadat aniach. Because they don't have that to do things in an intentional manner. I think we'll stop over here. Continues onwards. But here you have what the examples of what Ula is saying is that you have words that are repeated here throughout the parsha, which seem unnecessary. The kohen mentioned so many times. Why is the pasuki mentioning kohen? Each time it comes to teach you something new. Sometimes it comes to teach you something specifically about the pasuk itself. Sometimes it comes to teach you that something about the pasuk beforehand. That sometimes it tells you kohen because the one before doesn't need to be a kohen. Sometimes it says Elazar to teach you the one before really didn't need to be Elazar, or the other way around. Sometimes kohen comes to teach you that you need a kohen. You need a kohen in his big day kohuna. So that's what Ula said, that the parsha has all these, what seemingly extraneous mentions of Kohen and Ota, all these items, and each one of them comes to teach us something about the Parsha, or enhance our understanding of the process of Parah Adumah. Okay, we'll stop over here.